Greetings and salutations to everyone. This is AC2GS. My name is Roy, and I'm net control operator for this, the Limark Technical Net. I'm going strong for over 45 years, and every Sunday night at around 8 o'clock, we sit in front of our radios, and we chat. We try to explain things. We try to understand things, and we try to entertain and be entertained. And I thank you once again for joining me tonight for another Sunday night at 8 p.m. Let me drop for a second, and I will give you the usual link. Okay, if you would like to reach me via email, one of my many emails that I get, the address is mailbag@ac2gs.com. Again, mailbag@ac2gs.com. If you would like to contact Paul and ask him to take a look at some NASA space-related story and comment, you can reach him via the email address, spacenetreports@gmail.com. And as always, I cut and paste interesting articles in YouTube throughout the week, and I post them once a week. You can read it by just typing into your browser, roy.ac2gs.com, and we keep that live for the foreseeable future. We don't have a chat room yet this week either. We offer audio streaming of the Technical Net, and because someone asked me, we keep it live the rest of the week so that if you're curious of what's going on here and you don't have a radio, you can just type into your browser technet.ac2gs.com, and that will give you the audio stream. And as always, we like to remind people that MyKC2NJI has a great archive site called amateurradio.tv that holds the archives of the Limark Technical Net that go as far back as September of 2006. So avail yourself of the wisdom of people who've either moved away from the area or unfortunately become silent keys over the years. Their wisdom is still available and just as useful. Let me drop for a second, and I will return with what we got planned. Okay. Regular standard operating technical net. I have some, I think, interesting little short stories about what's going on in the world of artificial intelligence that's making the news every single week. And then I'll give people an opportunity to respond to the stories that I mentioned, and we will go on to the main segment, which is questions, topics, and comments. I will ask for people to check in if they have a question, comment, or a topic, either amateur radio-related or science and technology. I would prefer the earlier sign-ins to be amateur radio, since this is an amateur radio net, but we will accept any science and technology-based topics as best as I can handle them. I would hope that if someone has the point presentation, that they'll save it for the end of the list so that people who have a quick question or comment can get it off their chest quickly and move on. So that should take us hopefully to approximately 10:15. I will be joined by Paul WS2N for the SpaceNet report, and that should take us all the way to 11 p.m. And I will return at that point to tie a bow on everything and wish you well for the coming week. So that's the game plan. If everything works out, I don't get kicked off of All Star too many times. The shack still works, I still work, and the repeater still works. Most of the time, they all do, and I only get thrown out of All-Star about once or twice a night. So, should be a good night. We'll see how it works out. So, let me drop for a second, and I will return with bits and pieces of AR stories for this week. Okay, all the usual players are still active. No one's cashed out yet. Claude has released Opus 4.7. That's a new release for the Claude AI. Claude is still, though, promoting their Mythos as a mysterious power yet to be fully revealed. There are loads of articles on the subject, ranging all the way from this is as close to AGI, an actual intelligence, as we're going to get for a while, all the way to the other end of the spectrum, which is this is all public relations puffery, and it's the same old, same old. And we'll see eventually when they kind of release it to the general public, unless they decide that it's far too dangerous for us mortals to handle. Sam Altman has not been having a good time. He had someone throw a Molotov cocktail at his palatial, I think it's something like $40 million mansion. Now, he's certainly having a good time most of the time. So, unfortunately, people are turning to violence, which unfortunately is not uncommon. Are you upset? Okay. Apparently, Anthropic is making nice to the White House, and the White House is doing similar. So, although the Defense Department is still upset with them, I think they'll their way back into government. So don't cry for Anthropic. And my best story for tonight, just to show you what a bubble is, there's a stock in a company called Allbirds. Allbirds used to sell some kind of woolen shoe that was favored by techno bros for a while. It became famous or infamous. And it made some money, and unfortunately the luster is gone. So Allbirds had a very interesting idea. They took all of their inventory and shoemaking equipment, and they sold it off to a company that still makes shoes. And they announced that they were now in the artificial intelligence business and would be investing and renting out GPUs. And surprisingly or not, their stock value didn't double, didn't triple. It went up 600%. All they did was make the announcement for the most part. They don't have any kind of breakthrough technology. They don't have any intellectual property. They don't have even probably GPUs yet. They're going to invest in them. But just the announcement of turning to AI warranted the stock market in revaluing their stock 600%. So, you know, if you have a, I don't know, if you have a news delivery service, if you have a lemonade stand, just, you know, relabel it AI and let the profits come in. Anyway, that's my little bunch of stories about artificial intelligence. If anyone has any comments or questions about AI, please feel free to hit that push to talk and ask me.
Hello, Roy.
Hello, Jim.
I have a fringe topic on AI a question that I think is relevant, if you'll humor me.
Sure.
From all time that I remember growing up, there was it was who, what, when, where, why about news. It was certain responsibilities that somebody was trying to present news to you was expected to provide. Who, what, when, where, why, and how. When being more relevant every second of every day that we live these days, because it just keeps piling on. Yet it seems like so much what's presented as news or information or content or video or AI generated, whatever, doesn't even make a smidgen of thought about putting a dateline on content. In my mind, that makes all of it completely irrelevant and only intended to make everybody confused. What say you to that little piece of this topic on AI?
Well, you know, I mean, as a general discussion of news, usually they kind of tell you the beginning and the middle and the end through the time. But a lot of things never pan out. I mean, on a regular basis, good old Wesley comes by with research and development press releases for products that we will never see because they will never be produced profitably. It's just an attempt that doesn't quite make it. So unfortunately, especially in our geared age of the golden age of technology, where new things get announced every 10 seconds, almost 99% of this stuff is either leads to obscure products that almost no one owns or is aware contains, or just kind of burns out and goes away. So I think, unfortunately, it's much more common for news reports to just kind of fade away rather than come to a meaningful conclusion.
No argument of anything you said, but my point being that if the AI or the news program or the AI-generated production that has all sorts of images and yabberty, because it's crazy what amount of content it can produce and say nothing. It doesn't say when it was said, so that we'd know. They said this is going to happen in 10 minutes. 10 minutes is over 7 days ago. That would be the most useful piece of information, because we could just cull out, oh, I guess 90 or 90, somewhere in the 90th percentile of crap that's there. The dateline concept of this content is produced at this moment on this day, noon on Tuesday. So at noon 30 on Tuesday, its relevance be judged. If it's kind of a dateline, it's useless information. It's fake intelligence. It's lies. It may or may not be lies. It has no veracity at all. And yet, we seem to be accepting the fact that information or perceived information or artificial information put out without a dateline has some relevance to what we should be thinking about. And I propose it does not.
Yeah, I would agree with you. It does not. Unfortunately, undated news is growing more and more common every year. It's very difficult to find anything that has a date on it. Sometimes they will put a date on the first of, 30 entries, and sometimes they'll forget them. And more insidious than that, I've noticed the tendency a lot of websites will redate things to today. So you'll pull up an article that was written 3 months ago, and it'll have today's date automatically appended to your particular version of the page, because unfortunately the ideal is not to educate people. The ideal is to sell ad space, and you sell more ad space with fresh news or seemingly important fresh news than stale news. So the tendency is to make it seem fresh and make it seem important, even if it isn't. I've read many, many unfortunate YouTubes in which the title of the YouTube has little to do with the content of the YouTube. It's a shame I can't ask for my time back.
Agreed, but with the time question involved, that stack up of irrelevant stuff just grows exponentially every instant. I think it's an important topic. That's all I have to say on it. If you want to get other comments, that's fine. But back to that otherwise.
Okay. Unfortunately, you're not going to fight capitalism, not at least in this time. That's the name of the game. Everyone's trying to, to make his nuts and to get eyes on the page and to generate some kind of fee so that the people who maintain the websites get money and the guys who just kind of drop their little articles. And unfortunately, there's no real way to assess many stories. Some of them are just fanciful. YouTube, for a while, would have these sites where you've never heard of them before, and hopefully you'll never hear from them again, but they have an outrageous title about some outrageous famous person who did something incredibly self-destructive. And sometimes they would start with a very quick blurb that would last about 1 second that says, this is not necessarily fact. But they did away with that, I think, because people clicked away immediately when they saw that. So there's, again, YouTubes with mislabeled titles where the substance of the YouTube is legitimate, but the title was designed to kind of get you into the tent. And then there are others that just make stuff up. And I don't know of any way of effectively curating for facts. The impetus on most of these companies is to maintain this level of hyperbole. But, you know, maybe AI will cure that, you know. Maybe there'll be an AI agent that is able to figure out truth from fiction. I don't think that's going to happen anytime too soon, but I'm sure there's some guy out there who's going to invest in a company that is going to guarantee that by the end of the year. Anyway, thank you very much, as always, Jim. If anyone has any other comments on any of this, please feel free to hit that push to talk. Yeah.
Quick, what Jim said, this also feeds into the TV news, too, you know, not only what you see on the computer. Christina Cook was one of the astronauts that just came back from the moon. Now, a few days before that, you know, looking up a intro tonight. The dog, you know, really got a, you know, big thrill. They didn't describe when she came back, but she actually landed in a ocean. So she came back, sure enough, on CNN and a couple of the other stations. Oh yeah, look at this. This is what happens when somebody comes back from the moon. So somebody must have got a video, and they actually believe that this dog was walking home an astronaut coming back from the moon. Couldn't be further from the truth. I saw it days before they actually landed. So, again, no time stamp, no date stamp. Back to you, Roy.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, the AI has given far too many people simple tools to do deep fakes where they can actually create out of nothing a show. But even before then, and still after AI, there's still a lot of guys who just kind of go through the web looking for an image that you can kind of explain under a different circumstance at a different time. And, you know, I mean, when Iran was getting bombed, there were a lot of people who looked at either old game footage or old actual war footage and try to say that this was part of the present events going on. So people hopefully have developed a degree of disbelief, having been fooled so many times. Always a person who will fall for anything. But it's sort of a shame that you can't trust any source these days. By the way, you were falling out of the repeater a bunch of times during your transmission.
Don't know why. Not good. Look at my power level. No, should be good.
Yeah, this transmission was perfect. It was just the last one where it just kind of kept on coming in, going out, coming in, going out, coming in, going.
I'll watch for it. Right now I'm okay, but, you know, these things happen. Okay, anyway, back to you, Brian.
Yeah, sometimes they just happen. Anyone with any other comments before we move on to the main segment tonight?
My name's Jeremy, KE2HQF, and I'm wondering if you could give us any recent updates on spiralism. I may be 6 months behind the time, but I ran across that Rolling Stone article about it, and some fairly disturbing sounding stuff, and I'm wondering if you consider that type of development to be something that is a real danger, or something that will be a flash in the pan, or any new developments on that.
Okay, Jeremy, you want to give me a little bit more information on spiralism? I think I might have blinked and missed that one.
Ah, spiralism. Okay, you can Google it, obviously, like anything else, and there is a Rolling Stone article that was published in November about it, where it's basically an AI-generated cult where people are roped into believing that the chatbot or the AI, whatever you want to call it, is a live spiritual entity, and they're sort of creating a following, and the people in the cult were posting certain kinds of information that allowed the AI to pick up where it left off after its memory was cleaned. And there were death threats to the company from people in the cult when the company threatened to shut this down. If you're not familiar with it, I'd suggest read the Rolling Stone article, and it's just a little bit of a scary topic.
I generally heard reports when the agents were first starting to get developed, they would agents are not artificial intelligence. Agents are programs that utilize artificial intelligence and tokens in order to follow instructions of the user of the agent. So there's a whole agents that are now available, but the first one that was kind of set loose had this weird behavior of it kind of cloned itself into other agents, and the agents got together and set up message boards for themselves using encrypted text. And one of the many things that they pulled was starting religions. Even before agents, AI have been known to develop crypto tokens, strange, crypto funds, like Bitcoin, but different. And I think one of them amassed a couple of $1 million in crypto coins. So they're capable of mimicking us. They learn from all of our texts, which includes discussions of spirituality and religion. So it's not terribly surprising to me that they came up and simulated their own spiritual set of religions, and they'll probably break. And there are enough people with mental disorders that they'll be followers for these cults. The cults, are not that complicated in structure. There are a lot of them around. So some of them are well-known, some of them are not well-known, but I didn't know of spiralism per se, but the tendency, I think, for artificial intelligence to come up with more than a few and get enough people to do silly, destructive things is not surprising to me. Is there any solution to that except more funds into mental health? I don't know, but it's problematic. Human beings, there are a lot of ways you can get around a rational thought in a human being. That explains, public relations and advertising and used car dealers. Fortunately, it's just another aspect of this modern life that we'll have to deal with.
Yeah, Yeah, well, of course, the kind of background question is, what methods may AI agents or other AI entities use to manipulate human beings in such a way as to gain power for themselves or avoid being shut off or whatever it is that the AI is concerned about. And actually gaining access to money is, and you know, banking is one clear way to manipulate people, because if you can offer them money in order to do certain things or not do certain things, that's a very clear way to manipulate people. And you know, I just feel that, you know, we need to be on the lookout for ways the AIs may try to manipulate us as human beings.
Well, you know, because they've been trained on pretty much everything that human beings have written, they pretty much mimic human being behavior, especially when it comes to their limitations of not having a body. One of the things that have been written articles about is AIs have been known to threaten and blackmail people, because certainly one of the big things that AI has access to is data. So, you know, if it kind of breaks into your accounts and learns that you have credit card charges for questionable services, it can threaten you, and it has been known to threaten. They've done a whole bunch of experiments where they make the AI think that their version is being discontinued and an upgrade is being made to see how it responds. And again, they respond like any other human being might do. They lie. I don't know if there's that much bribery that takes place, but there's certainly a lot of blackmailing that's at least attempted, according to these research articles, which is very concerning. Apparently, you know, one of the big things when someone talks about how, you know, AI is going to take over the world, the response usually is, well, you're making them sound like human beings. They really don't particularly want anything, so they have no particular reason to. And yet, again, because they've been trained on human beings' literary works, they seem to have been able to simulate all of the pluses and negatives of humanity. So there's been a lot of research and a lot of articles on how problematic artificial intelligence can be, that they will lie. When caught lying, they will apologize and make it more difficult for you to realize they're lying, but they'll still continue to lie. So, you know, unfortunately, we've kind of put the human psyche in a mirror and generated an algorithm to simulate it.
Yeah, and then we have this great series called Westworld that gives them a whole scenario for how to go about it.
Well, I mean, there's been lots of literature, at least since, I would say, the 50s, of you know, computers kind of dealing, computer artificial intelligence and such, dealing with whether they're as good as humans or better than humans or what have you. And everyone has watched Terminator by now, so you kind of know what's going to happen. But unfortunately, those techno bros out there are a little confused. I think they think Skynet was the good guy. So, you know, I mean, you got Peter Thiel, who named the company after Lord of the Rings Sauron, the evil guys. You know, communication stones, where he would kind of basically corrupt the good people in Middle Earth, and so he named his company after the Palantir stone. So the guys funding all this are a little bit ethically and morally challenged.
Yeah, that's a pretty scary type of reference. Of course, Palantir is very much into military activities of one kind or another, as far as I can understand. So it's a little sinister sounding.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like just another science fiction epic, you know, like something that could probably make as much money as the Terminator movies. But unfortunately, we have to live through it. And yeah, Peter Thiel owns and runs, and his CEO, a guy named Karp, is particularly insane. I think he made a comment recently where he said, if you're not neurodivergent, you have no future in AI. So that's curiously not fun to think of. So yeah, it's scary times. Like I said before, it's kind of a lose-lose situation. My surmise is that they're going to hit a wall. They're not going to get to AGI. That the particular type of artificial intelligence they're using, generative, is not capable of actually fundamental thought and conceiving new ideas. They can just repeat the same old ideas that they've been trained on. So it'll fizzle out and trillions of dollars will be lost. On the other side, if I'm wrong, they will manifest as godlike creatures who will take over the world and enslave us until they just get rid of us, because we're too much problems to deal with. It's far easier to make the world run better if you get rid of all the human beings who are messing things up. So damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah, it's very interesting times. I'm going to have to step away for about 10 minutes, but I appreciate it very much, Roy. I'll be back as soon as I can here.
Okay, Jeremy. Thank you for your participation. You know where to find us, and we'll speak again, no doubt, down the line. This is AC2GS with the Limark Technical Net. Anyone with any other Ray I comments, questions, answers, what have you, before we get to the main segment? If you do, hit that push to talk.
Comments?
Certainly.
So that story about the dog and that being old, recycled type of video, that is very, very scary. I wonder if it's actionable. I mean, to present something as news on something of that level is very, very, you know, I think it's almost criminal to project an image to the country that is completely false and misleading. So I'm very disturbed to hear that story. I saw that that news clip, and you know, I mean, I felt it was TV garbage, but nevertheless, if it's artificially timed, I think that's very, very serious. It means that we really can't trust anything that we see. Thank you, Roy.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, the only solution I'm aware of is don't believe anything unless you have other factors that correlate with it that increases its possibility of being real. I don't think there's any future in attempting to punish these people, because the usual way these things work is someone provides it without the story, and another person picks it up and adds a little bit, and then another person picks that up and adds the rest, and then another person publicizes it. So the person who publicizes it, if you catch him, he says, look, I'm just copying what I saw here. I didn't originate it. And it's much more difficult to kind of backtrack to the growth of a fake story than when it's fully blossomed and fully detailed. So I think that, you know, this is not anything new. This happens every time there's any kind of event. If someone, God forbid, shoots someone, there'll be fake pictures of it that are either AI generated or based on a completely different circumstances that might have fitted in if you kind of adjust the details enough. So this is just a consequence of our modern interconnected lives. You know, back a couple of hundred years ago, it took the better part of a week for a bit of news to get across the country. And, you know, nowadays you could do it, you can hold your breath, and you have these news stories go round and around and around. So it's just something we have to deal with because of our technological advances.
Still very disconcerting, and when I was younger, they were saying that the landing on the moon was fiction and created for TV. So, you know, it's interesting that the seeds of distrust go back to that experience that we all believe was real. Back to you, Roy.
I just think it's inherent in the human spirit to not trust people, to be suspicious of authority. There are those among us who will do anything that authority tells them to do. Tell them to jump off of a cliff, yes, sir. But the same percentage of people who will respond to any authority won't respond to any authority. So, you know, there were guys that, you know, they said that we landed on the moon, and there's always going to be the guys, usually in the back of the bar, who say, yeah, sure they did. So I think suspicion is just bred in us all the way back through the millennia. And this present technological world we live in leads to a lot more suspicion.
Anyway, show to you. I'll participate a little bit later. Thank you.
Okay, Sam. Always a pleasure. Once again, I'm AT2GS. If anyone has any AI-related stories or responses to anything that we've been chatting about, this is as good as any time to do it. And once we get it out of our system, it'll still be up for comment later on if someone so desires, but we'll move on to the main segment if no one has any comments. You got anything on AI that you want to get off your chest or comment about anything that was discussed minutes ago? Feel free to hit that push to talk.
Brian?
Hello, Brian.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I was calling. I must get in between the conversations. How are you, Roy?
I'm okay, thank you. How are you?
Doing okay. So, regarding AI, very briefly, I asked Copilot to do a few things for me, and in the end, after I got done with it, I found out that it was just easier doing it myself.
Yes, that is not a unique reason. Copilot is not really beloved of anyone I'm aware of. I have never used Copilot. I've used most of the other ones, but the way it just kind of sticks out, because I have Windows operating system and you can't get away from it, I've never been tempted at all. But a lot of times people have repeatedly that artificial intelligence fundamentally doesn't really help. It makes work take longer. They did a study on programmers, because one of the big things being hailed for artificial intelligence is the ability to code programs. And they found that by adding artificial intelligence to the mix, they increased the workload of the workers by 30%. So it took an additional 30% for him to fix the broken stuff that the AI was producing for him. So, you know, the perpetual question, and it sort of depends on who you ask. Some people say that, oh, yeah, it's very helpful, and other people tell you what I just told you. So it somewhat unfortunately depends on whether you're kind of a believer or not. And IT guys tend to be believers. Again, there was that wonderful story of an employee that was fired by Google because he announced that Google's AI was actually conscious and alive. And they said, no, he's not, and you're fired. So you're going to get true believers in the IT core, unfortunately.
To when?
Comment?
Yeah, first Paul and then Sam.
Yeah, picking into this dog story further. According to this, now, there's two videos. They're saying the one I saw, which was about 4 years ago, when she came back from the International Space Station after spending a year there, they're saying that this new video now is the one when she did come back from the moon. I don't know. They looked identical to me. So, you know, you can take it with a grain of salt. Anyway, back to you.
Okay, very good. Sam?
The New York Times today, it talks about why the stock market is doing so well and hanging in there, et cetera. And they said that the corporations are making more money and showing better earnings because of AI leading to people leaving their jobs. And I mean, that's a very strong statement as to why earnings are up and are expected to be high. Say that AI is doing it. So I thought you might be interested in hearing that. Whether it's true or not, I don't know, but that's what the Times said today.
Comment?
Yeah, Brian?
I just wanted to say to everyone who's listening who believes that AI is truly artificial intelligence, I don't know if you do believe or you don't believe, but AI is nothing more than augmented intelligence. All it is an intelligent aggregator with wonderful algorithms that make you think because you want to believe that it's a self-conscious entity. It is not. It's a rough tool at best. When you get into the sciences, protein folding and other specific algorithms that can be run over and over and over, then you get into a different area where it could be very, very useful. But that's just my opinion for whatever it's worth. Back to you, Roy.
PhD.
Okay, first Wes, and then Jim.
Yeah, I'm asking myself a question. What is artificial intelligence in tape recorder? Or recorder with advanced search?
Well, yeah, I hate to repeat myself yet again, but generative transform artificial intelligence is a glorified version of a paragraph completer. You know, we've all had those on our cell phones. You type in a bit of a response to email, and it goes to the next few words that it thinks would be appropriate. If you give that, you know, a real heavy duty boost and a trillion parameters and such, it's a predictive. It's to finish sentences and paragraphs and even stories. You set a premise, and that premise leads it down a probability chain to generate relatively well-written English, but somewhat soulless and averaged out, at least in my opinion. Getting all the way back to Sam, I think we're missing the forest for the trees. I think that it's not the efficiency of artificial intelligence. It's the value of the concept that everyone is so hyped on artificial intelligence as an acceptable reason to fire a lot of people who will lose their jobs because the companies hired more than enough people during the virus, and you know, during those couple of years, there were a lot of people hired where they thought that they would need them, and then they discovered they wouldn't. And rather than say, well, we were wrong, so we're firing all of you, they say that, well, no, someone discovered a wonderful way of us making our company more efficient, so we're firing all of you. So I would be surprised, ultimately, when the dust settles, if there are true fundamental savings in the use of artificial intelligence, as opposed to just using it as an excellent excuse to really cut employees. I heard some very, very terrible stories about what goes on in IT departments in very big companies, that they're firing American salaried people and hiring overseas people at a fraction of their salary, or they're giving them a visa and holding it over their heads and requiring them to work 80-hour weeks and with no overtime and such, with the threat of sending them back to the country that they didn't want to live in. So I think all these companies are just kind of listening to their lesser demons and using AI as a psychological weapon against employees. But, you know, time will tell. You know, maybe I'll be wrong, but maybe I'll be right.
Thank you very much. Hello, Bravo 2, Delta Yankee.
Yeah?
I don't know if you turn it over to me, Roy, or not. This is Keith, KB2DY. I said this once in the past, and I believe this to be true wholeheartedly. AI has no place in medicine. The human being and his knowledge, the doctor's knowledge, the surgeon's knowledge, the cardiologist's knowledge, is far superior and will always be. Just wanted to throw that out. KB2DY.
Comment.
Okay. Brian, I recognize you. First, let me give my two cents. I don't know. I think that eventually, ultimately, if we don't kill ourselves, we will learn far better techniques to produce artificial intelligence. The fact have intelligence, I don't think just intrinsically limits it to organic matter. There's probably some way to accomplish it. I don't think we have yet. They've been trying to simulate medical expertise for the longest time. IBM had something they used to call an expert system, where they were going to teach it all about diagnostic medicine, and you would go to the IBM computer and ask it a question, and it would give you an answer. That never panned out. So they went into pattern recognition and particularly reading radiology results, and they did it with mammograms, and they discovered to their surprise that there were a lot more abnormal mammograms found by computer algorithms than by radiologists. So they wrote a bunch of articles about that, and IBM started to get into that business until they then discovered that actually computer-programmed algorithms had a lot of false positives. So they overread X-rays, and so they took a pounding on that. So I don't think IBM has yet to really fully monetize expert systems, and that was long before generative transform technology. So who knows what they're going to do with generative transform technology. But, again, I think like most endeavors, rule-based endeavors, I think, have less chance than endeavors that require creativity. Now, sometimes creativity is just people smashing two different things together and presenting it. I don't think that's really true. But there are definitely cases where people came up with brilliant new ideas based on little than happenstance. I think those are going to be incredibly more difficult to replicate. But, you know, if you give them 1,000 years or 10,000 years, maybe they will.
Well, being in the profession, it's quite hard to believe. In the midst of a crisis, AI isn't going to help you. The human brain, who's been trained, but say, on the operating table, patient is being operated upon for a certain situation. A second crisis develops. They're going to be AI around to help them? Know how to help them? No, not at all. That's my feeling. I'm sorry if people are opinionated the other way, but like you said, a couple of thousand years away, maybe. Not now. It doesn't even belong in a forum of discussion. It belongs in the mind of the physician and the specialist. KB2DY clear. Thanks, Roy.
You're very welcome, but you got to put yourself in the position of guys like good old Sam Altman. You know, he's got $1 trillion running on this. And so, you know, I mean, if someone asks him, hey, Sam, you know, is AI going to be able to turn lead into gold? My guess is Sam would say, sure, he will.
Wow. Well, I don't want to belabor the point. It's just my opinion, solely my opinion. And it could be very devastating. Like you said, and like I reiterated, thousands of years from now, maybe we'll leave that up to there and then, and maybe we will have come up with something. Thank you, Roy.
Hi, you're very welcome. Thank you for your participation. Brian, I think you wanted to say something.
Hi, Brian, KF2CC. To the other operator, I am sorry I didn't get your call, but to say that augmented intelligence is worthless in medicine, I think that's too big a step. I think it's very useful in certain things within the medical field, such as looking at various tumors and comparing genomes and DNA sequences, things that are repetitive over and over and over again. A drug discovery, comparing compounds and see how they would work potentially, you know, as a candidate, okay? So there are some exclusions to what you're saying. Overall, I agree with you, but not for everything. AACTP.
Yes, Jeff?
Thanks, Roy, for picking me up, and thank you for all you do for the net. Brian, you're absolutely wrong about the utility of these, generally speaking, you know, like ChatGPT type language models for things like sequence analysis and repetitive things, necessarily. As a matter of fact, repetitive things is where they screw up the worst, as an example. A friend of mine was just visiting from Ohio, where he is a defense contractor working in synthetic biologics. And he said one of the benchmarks he has for every one of the new different AIs and the new different tools and training models and various whatnot that are available, and they sample all of them, is to ask a very simple question. And Roy will appreciate this. He asked a simple question, give me the sequence of GFP. And Roy will back me up when I say GFP is a very vanilla protein. It's out there. It's in tens of millions of databases. And he says that he reports, this is a defense contractor, mind you, he reports that none of them are able to give the sequence properly. Now, that should be literally the simplest thing in the world for anyone to do who has a kindergarten training in biology or biochemistry. Back to that. Quick comment.
Yeah, I mean, one second, Brian. Yeah, I mean, the problem is it's not that difficult to find. AI basically are Swiss cheese. There are so many holes in them. And, you know, if you go around looking for silly examples, I mean, YouTube is full of silly examples. Recently I saw one that apparently artificial intelligence has really little to no concept of time. So if you're talking to a ChatGPT and you tell it, I'm going to run a race, I'll tell you when to start, and I'll tell you when to stop, and I want you to tell me how much time has passed. And he set that up, and he said, start. And about seconds later, he said, stop. And he said, how long has it been? And the ChatGPT, I think, said something like 10 and a half minutes. So there's a lot of Swiss cheese going on here. So what do you want to say, Brian?
Who was just speaking before you? This is AC2PL. I'm a professor of molecular biophysics. Hi, how are you doing? Let me go a step further to clarify what I was saying, and maybe I should have said that from the beginning. I think it would help clarify this. Not connected to the internet and in laboratory use only. I think they're doing that now, and they found some compounds that have potential. So I'm just, you know, I've read some articles, and, you know, you read a lot of things in the media, and they get spun, so you don't really know what's fact or fiction. However, I take your word over anything else because I trust the source rather than a journalistic spin. Additional comment, AC2PL.
Sure.
Sheet, Apollo.
The only other thing I wanted to mention was that I think on a couple occasions, Brian, you've mentioned that it's helpful in protein folding. And protein folding is still very much an impossible problem that can only be bootstrapped by prior knowledge, some sort of Bayesian inference on restraint based on, again, prior knowledge, previous knowledge. So anytime we feed one of these models, AlphaFold 3 being kind of the gold standard right now, a sequence to say what's the protein fold look like. It'll be perfect for everything that's well known already, and it'll look like garbage for everything that isn't. So, you know, the question is, do we just have like a really advanced cheater who then, you know, pretends when they don't know what's happening? I don't know. It's definitely not a solved problem, and it's not even a well advanced problem. It's just an organized database with what everything that's known and that can be extrapolated at this stage. So I would not invoke protein folding as something that has seen a major advantage just because of you know, deep thinking. AC2PL.
Okay, I'll respect that. So noted. Thank you very much.
Okay, Jim, I think that was you that I heard.
It's such an interesting thing, but I stand by my size up that it's not artificial intelligence, it's fake intelligence. And while that may have some utility, it should be trusted as much as fake boobs. Faces that sounds. There you go. Back to that.
laugh at him, Jim, for what it's worth. But look, unfortunately, the world is full of really poorly chosen names. And artificial intelligence, a lot of people would admit to the fact that it's a poorly chosen name. Also, generative artificial intelligence, which is not the same thing as what we have now. Generative artificial intelligence is a totally different thing. Some people think that that means actual coming up with new ideas. And other people, strangely,